I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Who dat? Welcome on in to NFC Championship Game Day. Ooh, that gets
and
the blood
which
going.
One is this?
Yeah, just talked about this. 22-23, Steve.
We got one more.
All right, broadcast 22 out of 23. We called our shot. We did our Babe Ruth, Mambino, and it's going to happen, man.
I do. I believe it. I believe it's going to happen as well. I really do. Again, like I've told you before, Seth, I look at this as an ex-player, like I do every game. Excuse me. There's this league is tremendous. It's so hard to win a game in this league, and of course, this time of the year, I have some limited experience in the playoffs, but nonetheless, knowing what I do know about it, this is one of those times that last couple of weeks have been go home too if you don't win, but. This is the best of the best, okay? This is what we thought was going to happen. I think you and I both sort of stirred it around and said, it's probably going to be the Rams and the Saints again.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the year, we almost said that. I did pick the Saints and the Patriots to play in the Super Bowl. So, we're going to get off to a good start to this first test today, and then we'll see what happens later on with Kansas City. But I'm not worried about that game at all.
No.
I don't even know who else is playing.
Who cares who they play,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. If they get there. And by the way, both of us had Saints-Patriots in the preseason.
Yeah.
So look at us. Maybe a little prescient here. Again, this is the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take. This is your show. We want to hear from you here on NFC Championship Game Day. The phone number is 504-260-1870, and the text line is 870-870. Now, home field advantage in football, well, we know it's real, and if you look at kind of the advanced metrics, second greatest home field advantage of any sport on the planet except NBA basketball, oddly, but it's even greater in the NFC and AFC championship games. In the last 5 years, not one road team has won in this spot. That's because of the energy that these home crowds bring. And Steve, for your court's take here as we kick it off, I want your take on the fans, the crowd noise, and how that should be a factor today.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this, that there are certain stadiums that have this ability to do this. Okay, Kansas City's one of them. The Patriots are one of them. Green Bay is one of them. And obviously the Saints are one of them. Seattle's one of them. There's a few that are sort of able to generate this kind of energy that they can relay it to their team. And look, the Saints fans are sophisticated enough to know when to do it and when not to do it. And I can tell you this, that there'll be no question in my mind that once this thing gets going, it's like anything. This Rams team, I know it's going to happen, and I know that I just know this is going to happen. They're going to come out on fire. They have to. Their whole thing is right now they got to start fast. And I can tell you right now, that's what they're going to do, and they're going to try to sledgehammer us with those two backs. That's the first thing they're going to do. They do not want to make Jared Goff the guy that tries to win the game for him, because I don't think he can do it.
Hey, I'm with you.
I just don't think he can. And I think that they're going to rely on that quarterback's best friend, and that's Gurley and C.J. Anderson. And look, and I'd do the same thing. Look, if I was McVay, I'd say, look, we need to give those guys a steady diet of these two backs. And we need to take this game physically to these guys. We've got a great offensive line, and they do. And we can pound on them, and eventually, with enough body shots, we're going to take them down. And I think that that's going to free things up for Goff. And I think that anytime you look at that, I mean, that's what we do offensively, what Sean Payton does. I mean, we got this two-headed monster now. And if you look historically back at what Drew Brees has done in the past, he's had to throw the football a whole lot more in previous seasons. He doesn't have to throw the football as much anymore. And I guarantee you, Bobby says it all the time, less of Drew is more because of that. The fact that we can run the football and run it effectively with this two-headed monster that we have, and the fact that that two-headed monster also catches the ball so well out of the backfield. I just really want to make sure that our offensive line is up for the task, and I think they will be. We had a great game against them the first time here, And I'd like to see them replicate that.
That's Court's take on Saints-Rams in the NFC Championship game. And our Oakwin Heart Rolex time is 3 hours and 50 minutes before kickoff out there in the Superdome. And let's talk about the quarterbacks here, Steve. And obviously a big disparity. And maybe Goff gets to the level that Breeze is at. Maybe one day we will see. A long way to go with that. But it's interesting. We analyze all the nuance of these games, which is fun. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're paid to do. It's what's fun. What makes the whole week leading up to this game fun to analyze all the nuances, all the ins and outs. But usually in these spots, it just comes down in football, in NFL football, to who has the better quarterback. I mean, it just does. Yeah. And right now, the Saints have a huge advantage there.
And look, football people know that, Seth. And you hit it right on the nose. I mean, at the end of the day, and I said it, and I've been saying it all week, who do you trust more, Jared Goff or Drew Brees? Well, the obvious question, the answer to that question is Drew Brees. So in order for that to work, we got to make sure that we keep number 99 and number 93 off him, because that's going to be clutch. I mean, it really is. That's going to be key to make sure that we keep him upright and clean. And if we do that, it's going to be a long day for the guys in yellow.
Indeed. And Jared Goff on the road this season, 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, just an 82 quarterback rating, not nearly the same as he was at home. And that's because he struggles at times in crowd noise because Sean McVay, the coach, brilliant head coach, I think he's a great offensive mind, going to be in this league for a very long time. He's feeding information into the headset for Jared Goff down to 15 seconds on the play clock, which I guess goes back to the crowd noise and what Sean Payton said earlier. You need to get loud if you're heading to the dome.
Yeah.
Really about 30 seconds on the play clock, not well, way before they get up to
Look, I said it before a long time ago. When you play this team, because they are coach-driven from the sideline, you know, you've got this time from the time that you know, that last play ends. From the last play ends, when they're sort of getting off the pile and stuff like that, and they're sort of muddling around in their huddle, that's when you really need to get loud. Because what's happening is, if you notice, Jared Goff sort of steps back and sort of clears himself from the guys that are standing around him, and he kind of looks over to the sideline, and that's when he's getting the communication from McVay. During that time, you need to go buck wild. I mean, just let it go. And because once that 15 seconds clock is done, now it's up to him. He can't hear anything more. Okay. So yeah, you can continue to yell if you want to, and that's great. But really the time you need to yell is before that 15 second clock goes off, because that's the time of the communication. And I can tell you, a word missed in a formation, a word missed in, you know, a route of some kind, or a protection and then a route, you got a problem. You know, because if they miss something or they don't if he doesn't identify the defense the right way, because that's what I guarantee that's what McVay does. He sees our personnel groups out there, and he knows what our personnel groups are out there and what they do. And he's going to say, look, they're going to be they're going to be in a press cover. They've got two safeties. They've got one safety that's going to be it's going to be a shell. You know, they're going to have one safety, and they're going to have this, or it's going to be a zone. It's going to be a tight zone. So all these types of things come into play, you know, when this communication is going on. And the fact that if he can't relay that to him, and he can't obviously relay that message accurately to the guys and then carry it off, we're going to really the fans are going to play a huge role.
Here's some text at 870-870. Hey, guys. And this is a paraphrase, a very long text here. He says, you can turn 70,000 screaming fans into 140,000 screaming fans. And I've heard this before. Download a kind of an air horn app or a screaming goat app, and you can point that to the field, which oddly isn't against NFL rules here, against noisemakers, because they don't ban your phones. So you could have all these apps on your phones. You could be screaming at the same time. And I heard Newell talking about this, too.
Noise loophole.
That's right. Huh? Hey, this is, look, very patriots, right? To take advantage of all the loopholes. You can, right? Here's a text from the 504. Steve, remember the fan interview last August, some woman said Drew should play in the preseason to, quote, make sure he still knows what he's doing. In all caps, he still knows what he's doing. Yeah, that's been proven, right? Maybe his best year.
Yeah, he's been doing this an awful long time. Yeah. He's a 40-year-old man. He's been doing this a while. Okay.
He's a man. He's 40, right?
He's 40, a man. 40. I'm 40. Yeah, look, we're blessed to have him here and to watch a pro like that. And, look, I'm just glad he's on our side.
Mike Dettillier coming up second half of the hour to give us his draft day reflections on Aqib Talib and Todd Gurley, two of the key pieces for the Rams. When we come back, we'll talk about one rushing attack against the defense, but not the one most people have been talking about all week. I want to talk about the Saints' rushing attack against the very porous Rams' rush defense. Seth Dunlap and Steve Court here on the Acadian Windows Saints Fans First Take. And look, this is your show. I'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. That's the number. And we're reliving some of the best and greatest Saints playoff moments today. And I know everybody will remember this one.
Going on 4th and 14, will punt it away. He hangs it very high, angling it for the near sideline. Hakeem drops the ball! Oh. Hakeem drops the ball! Brian Mill might have fallen on it at the 10-yard line!
You gotta be kidding me!
He lost the New Orleans Saints football! Brian Mill, the most unlikely hero of them all, falls on the fumble, the muff by Hakeem! There is a God after all!
I can't believe it! Breeze under center, pitches out to the left to Kamara, has Armstead in front, across the 10, shakes the first tackler, across the goal line! Alvin Kamara, touchdown!
I was talking all week long, Steve, about Alvin Kamara, and for me, he could be that proverbial X factor for the Saints because all the double teams and bracket coverage Michael Thomas is going to see, and we don't know how healthy Kirkwood is, that this rush defense and the Rams that isn't good, I think Alvin Kamara and really Mark Ingram could just have field days here.
Well, they need to. And, look, I would feel a whole lot better if we collectively with both those guys have, I want to say, 120-plus yards rushing. It shouldn't be. We should win. I mean, that to me demonstrates two things. First of all, it demonstrates the fact that we can control the clock, and when you control the running game, there's so much more that can, you know, obviously the play actions are going to work. So, you know, I think a lot of times this Michael Thomas thing has been overblown a little bit because they think that, you know, him and this Peters guy have got this thing going on, and I think it's look, Peters is a good player, but he's nowhere close to Michael Thomas, okay? So the fact that they're gonna have to put him on somebody, and if not, it's gonna be on Tlaib. And look, that guy's a good corner as well. But look, Thomas can victimize anybody, and Drew is the guy that can flat get it to where it needs to go. So we don't beat anybody by throwing the ball way down the field. You never have, and you never will. Okay, but the intermediate stuff is where we make our money, and I think that the fact that we have somebody like, and you were mentioning earlier, Kamara. I mean, to me, he not only is the X factor, but he's a guy that has like wide receiver, you know, hand skill. And so, look, as smooth and as silky as he is, and he is one hard guy to tackle, and he's not a big guy. He's probably 205 pounds or something, but he's strong as hell. And some reason, when you do get him, you can't get a clean shot on him. And when you do, he sort of he gives with the punch. And when he does, he still has his feet on the ground, which is the most amazing thing. I'm watching him from up there, and it's like, you know, his feet are always on – he's always in balance, which is just absolutely amazing to me as a running back. Because most of these guys, they get hit and they fall down. And they fall forward. That's all good and fine. But he, a lot of times, boy, you better get him to the ground, because if you don't get him to the ground, he's kind of like a cat. He continues just to truck on down the field. And so, look, he is one fun guy to watch, and he's a superstar in this league. There's no question about it. But if we can get that two-headed monster going in, and it's going to take our guys up front to sort of block these guys up to get it done. We did a great job up the first time. But, look, they're susceptible to the run. They're kind of doing pass rush moves on their way to the quarterback. Hopefully they can run into a run play when they do that. But they're more thinking about seeing if they can stop Breeze from throwing the football.
Well, it's about that time, Tony. We got to check in with the Who Dat Army. Down under.
Ooh, all right.
Tony in Australia. Welcome to the show, Tony. NFC title game. Here we go.
How are you, Steve and Seth?
Yeah, what's going on?
The Superdome gets turned into a shearing shed today.
I like
yep,
it.
Yeah, I like that. You're right. Shear the sheep. Yep.
Yeah. The D line will be the shearers. The O line will be the wranglers. And Drew and Sean will be the wool classes.
There you go.
I like it, Tony. All right, Tony, what's your prediction for today, my man?
I think we'll win, but by about 10 points. And another X factor you forgot to mention, Tyson Hill.
Oh, he's always the X factor,
oh, yeah,
right?
I mean, he's always the X factor. He's the guy that you can really sort of put anywhere and is sort of the Swiss Army knife that he has all kind of different things that he can do, and boy, he's certainly fun and an absolute headache for defensive coordinators.
Indeed, Tony.
Yeah, with Rankin's going down last week.
Yeah.
It's time for Devonport to step up.
Ah.
And prove his worth.
I was saying here, Tony, because that's exactly what Steve and I were talking about off the air. It looks like you had your ear in the studio here.
No, this is the only time I get to listen to shows when I'm on hold and talking to you guys. But
yeah,
if the O-line stopped Donald and Sue from doing what they did last week, they've got nothing. Their secondary is pretty ordinary. And Drew, being able to stay on his feet, he'll just carve him to pieces.
Well, I'm hoping you're right, Tony, I think you probably are. But, yeah, we've got to take care of business first, and that's going to be in the trench. So if we can get that done and if we're able to be successful against Aaron Donald and obviously, Sewell has sort of come on here in the last couple of weeks too, and both those guys are really good players. So we're going to have to see if we can mitigate the damage that those guys can cause. And we do that, we should be in good shape.
Tony.
And the cornerbacks have got to look, be careful of Cooks.
Tony, who's going to beat them Saints?
No one. No one.
I like it.
There we go. Tony in Australia. Leader of the Hoodad Army down under. 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. Saints-Rams NFC title game. About 3.5 hours away. Huge play last week.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Thomas used as the cheese, as Thomas described on that play. I think Breeze actually described it like that. But here's the thing. Welcome back, by the way, to the Acadian Windows Fans' First Take on WWL, Acadian Windows, official window company of the Hoodat Nation. Kirkwood's reports are he is out. He was officially listed as questionable. So was Benjamin Watson, the tight end. Kat Terrell, formerly of the Times-Picayune, now an ESPN reporter. Mm-hmm. She reported that Watson will be out. So the Saints will be without those two key players. Rams, healthy coming into this one, except for the guys that they lost to IR earlier this year, including Cooper Kupp.
Right. Well, look, health always during this time of the year is a big issue. But the fact that our offensive line is hopefully coming back to health, in those areas. And I'm speaking mainly of, Andrus and sort of what's going on with him. Look, he struggled last week, but all in all, when you look at it, he played a pretty good game with a broken hand, and them sort of trying to take advantage of it. And so I think he's going to be a lot more, maybe used to it or acclimatized to it, the fact that he's got to play with that this week. So he also knows that he's played this guy before and how well he's played against him, which I think is it's a confidence builder for those guys. So, look, this is going to be fun to watch because that's sort of the game where this game is going to be won or lost today for sure, is that matchup and really sort of the, in that trench where we can sort of get an advantage. And if we do that, we just got to keep number 9 clean, and that's going to be the biggest key.
So do you think there is any kind of quick hook for Pete if he struggles, multiple penalties, gets run over, maybe Cameron Tom, Jermon Bushrod over there on that left side?
I can only say that if, in fact, it's because you get to realize something, okay? Aaron Donald runs over a lot of guys, and he's a full load. I mean, that's what we call those guys, and that's sort of that can happen to a lot of different players and guys that are healthy. So you don't give up on him, but at the same time, you need to sort of ask him, look, is this something you can continue to go with and play with, and are you going to be able to get your hand in there or not? Because if not, if you feel like that confidence is beginning to wane a little bit. I don't see that from him. I certainly see that he's the kind of guy that I think is kind of a stud guy. He didn't say much, but he's kind of like an assassin. I think he's up for the challenge. And I know that, look, I've played with that before, and it's no easy task, but you can do it. Do you feel great doing it? No. And it's awkward and it feels weird. And so what? You just got to do it.
Yeah. And that's what I'll be zeroed in on, at least very early on in this game. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. Coming up next, Mike Dettillier is going to come on in to give us his draft day reflections, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. We'll talk a little Aqib Talib and Todd Gurley, two guys in the spotlight for the Rams. Also, we're reliving some of our favorite Saints playoff memories. How about this Saints wide receiver? He used to take the top off of defenses every week.
Breeze, pitch back, flea flicker, wide Breeze open. Loads and locks it and throws it downfield, and it is caught! Caught by Henderson at the goal line for the touchdown! 44 yards on the touchdown reception. Bryant McFadden beaten on the flea flicker by Devery Henderson.
Welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Hoodat Nation, and every single week we like to take a look back at draft prospects a few years ago that have turned into some of the better players in the National Football League. And we're going to do that here today, second time the Saints have seen the Rams, so second version of Rams Draft Day Reflections. And Mike D joining us now for his Draft Day Reflections, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. And here we go, NFC title game, Mike. Saints Rams part two of the season, and certainly this is the bigger one. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Listen, it's great to be in this spot, enjoying the moment.
Yeah, the Saints certainly seem like they're enjoying the moment. Hopefully they'll be enjoying it on Sunday. Let's talk about a guy who is back that wasn't involved in the first game these two teams played, and he's been talked about a lot this week. That's cornerback Aqib Talib. I am curious, Mike, how have you seen his career progress, and do you think he's a Hall of Fame guy?
I think he's in the Hall of Very Good. I don't know about Hall of Fame, but for him to play this long, Seth, at that level, he's going to push the envelope here. I mean, he's 32 years old, going on 33. It's amazing. But, you know, he's a big corner. He's matched up well. He's a real physical cornerback. Man, he mixes it up with you. He tries to get into your head a little bit and tries to have you fighting him more than worrying about what you're supposed to be doing out on the field. It's unbelievable that you rarely see a guy that can play that position at this level at that age. And so he's exceeded what I thought he would come into the league in 2008, and he's had some issues off the field, a number of them. But, man, on the field, he is a really good football player, and you would have to say he's one of the top six or seven cornerbacks in the game today, yeah, the way he's played. And you saying that about a guy in his 30s playing that position, that's saying an unbelievable amount. Always been a very confident guy. He plays the ball like a wide receiver does, but what he wants to do is get you out of your game, and that's where that physical play of his comes into play.
You wrote in your draft profile, Aqib has excellent size and matches up well with the bigger and taller receivers downfield. Well, maybe a little prophetic here, because he's matching up with a taller physical receiver in Michael Thomas. Everybody expects him to this week. How do you see that matchup going?
Well, he's now more – they're playing a lot more zone coverage than they had in the past. Wade had always been a man-cover guy, but now he's strictly now going to zone cover. And it's interesting how Talib has made that transition into that. So only thing I can say on those underneath routes, that's where Mike can still get open downfield. And they don't flip their corners according to receiver. So he won't be on Michael Thomas every play. We won't see that. And as soon as I see Marcus Peters up against him, I'm throwing the football in Mike's direction. So I think the Saints will pick and choose here on it. But again, with Talib, do you test him deep? And that's where, if he's matched up against Ted Ginn Jr., you may see the deep ball come out with Drew Brees.
Yeah, Marcus Peters on Michael Thomas again, what, 200-plus yards in that first matchup. Sounds a little yummy to me. What doesn't sound too appetizing to me is a big dose of Todd Gurley and that Rams running game. Let's talk about Todd Gurley here. Almost everybody had him as the best running back coming out when he did, and I think he's turned himself into maybe the best all-around back in football right now.
Yeah, I think him and Le'Veon Bell, you can make a pretty good argument about that. Those two guys,
they tilt the field. And, you know, Todd was an elite high school player, came in at Georgia. We did a second guest show, Bobby and I. We had Buck Ballou on, the former quarterback at Georgia. This was entering his sophomore year, and he said he thought Todd Gurley was a better player than Herschel Walker. Now, you know, everybody got their opinion on stuff. Buck Ballou played with Herschel at Georgia. So, you know, you kind of take into effect, man, if Buck is saying this about him, he's one heck of a player. He had a knee injury as a junior after he had got suspended for four games for autographed items. And I still don't get all that, but whatever. He comes back, messes up his knee, and the Rams picked him with the 10th pick in the draft. Coming off the knee injury, and he has been a superb player. He's the straw that turns the drink for the Rams. He really is. He's their MVP from a standpoint of what he does out on the football field as a runner and also as a receiver coming out the backfield. He's such a dangerous guy, but he's a good mixture of power and speed. He's got really good field vision and the ability to make people miss in space. He's not a small running back. You're talking about a guy who's a little over 6'1 and 225 pounds. You team him up with C.J. Anderson, who the first two numbers on that scale when he gets on it, from my standpoint, is probably 2'7". Now, I don't know what's after that, but it don't really matter. Man, that's where the Saints are going to get fed a running game today. And I think that's the key to this football game for the Saints defensively. Well, they got to stop the run and say, if you're going to beat us with Jared Goff, but we're not going to let you do the same sort of things you did against the Cowboys.
Well, it's interesting, the running game you're talking about here. Our buddy Doug Mouton just did a segment earlier tonight on WWL-TV comparing this Rams running game the last 4 weeks, carrying it 44 times per game, 44 rushes per game. It wasn't just against the Cowboys, Mike. This is over the last 4 weeks. Sean McVay, everybody talks about his brilliance. Well, you got to give him credit once Cooper Kupp went out, redesigning this offense a little bit to play to those strengths, right?
Yeah, he had to, and Gurley's been out part of those four games. So really it's been C.J. Anderson sort of carrying the load for a big part of that. That's been the shock, that it's been C.J., who kind of wore out his welcome in Denver, went to Carolina, got cut, went about 8 days in Oakland and got cut. And then all of a sudden, he appears and becomes the focal point running the football once Gurley hurt his knee. And he wasn't close to being 100% and didn't play in a couple games. So that's been the real change. And you can tell when you have a really good coach that can adjust on the move, and that's what happened here, because Cooper Kupp was a guy that they went to in certain down and distance situations. He got the dirty yards for them. They had to adjust, and while their offense did okay for a couple weeks after Kupp, man, it ran into the brick wall afterwards. McVay did a great job adjusting to the talent he had on hand and seeing he had a power back, and once C.J. gets those shoulders squared, you like tackling a big offensive center running downfield. But that combination has really been a winner for them. It got really highlighted, though, in that Cowboys game going up against that defense. And 277 yards rushing is remarkable going up against the Cowboys.
Well, it's Mike Dettillier. Mike, always appreciate the breakdown. Man, I hope we have one more of these, and we'll see you up in the press box a little later today. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, and it'll come down to a game-winning kick.
There you go. Okay, there's a prediction. All right, we're going to hear Mike and much more of him on Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby and Christian coming up just a little bit on Saints Radio Network. This has been Mike D's Draft Day Reflections, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. So there goes Mike. On back in comes Steve Court. We will take a break, more of your calls, and Steve Court's analysis when we come back here on the Acadian Windows. Fans First Take, getting ready for Saints Rams, the NFC Championship version on WWL.
All right, back here on Acadian Windows, Fans First Take. Steve, did you see this petition to get Bill Vinovich, the referee, removed from the game?
Not until you just told me about it. That's ridiculous. Come on. Referees do not... referee the game. They don't. Gee, that's terrible.
Yeah, petty Rams fan. Stories online right now at WWL.com. Yeah, the petition was unsuccessful. It's a good thing he's officiating the game. League low penalties he called this year, right? It's a good
thing. Look, I don't want this. Let him play. Unless it's absolutely ridiculous, let him play.
All right, one more hour of Fans First Take after the news.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.